So service had concluded. The pastor was in the back of the church. He greeted all his regular folk as they left. And as that was wrapping up, he turned and he looked back into the sanctuary, and there was a guy still sitting in the service. So he went and he sat down, and he's like, "Tom, is everything all right?" And the man thought for a second, and he said, "Preacher, you need to pray for my hearing." And never to turn down opportunity to pray for his people, the pastor sat right down, put his hands on Tom's ears, and just went at it. He praised God for his power. He praised God for his goodness. He started at the cellular level and prayed for the cells in the ears, worked himself up to the bones, the muscle, the tendon, reminded God that he was the good physician. He had the power to heal. And after several minutes of just earnest prayer, he said, "Amen." He looked at Tom and said, "How is your hearing?" The guy said, "Well, it's not till Tuesday." It's just a joke, but you know what? In a roundabout way, I think it points to the fact, oh, the people in the back just got it. Hey, welcome. Wake up. It'll make the sermon better if we all. But it's that roundabout way where we want God in our situations, regardless if it's hearing or the worst kind, hearing. And so regardless of our needs. And so 2 weeks ago, we started this series, The Season of Hope. And I've really tried over the course of the last 2 weeks and even this week to just remind us that not only is there, we have as Christians an incredible reasons why that we can have hope even despite some of the darkness and despair of this world. But not only that, but we need to be purveyors of it because, again, we live in a country and a world that is in desperate need of hope. And so that first week, we looked at how God looked into his creation and he understood mankind's biggest need, which is ultimately a relationship with him. And he saw, and throughout the Old Testament, that the system didn't work. And so he stepped out of the glories of heaven and in the incarnation stepped out and looked around and said, you know what, mankind's worth it. And so he left heaven and was born in such a humble way. And not only, again, the incarnation being embodiment or the representation and how we as well need to be incarnate. And then last week we looked at that not only does God know when to show up, but he also knows when to speak up. And we looked at the angel's message to mankind and just that God's intention for us is joy and peace that is strong enough to stand against fear. And we see that not only did he in a miraculous, angelic way back when, share that with mankind, but even today, through the indwelling of his spirit, he continues to speak that truth into our lives. And as we grasp hold of that and we allow it to rule in our lives, that we definitely should and can live in hope. And so this week, I want you to understand and know that we can have hope because God holds us up. So we're going to look at a little less popular part of the Jesus birth narrative, and our Bible actually entitles it Mary's Song of Praise, and it's Luke 1:46-56. I'm putting it on the screen. Some of you might have to take out your glasses, but here we go. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the throes of his heart. He has brought down the powerful from the thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he has made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." So this in its original language would have been a poem or a song. And so whenever we see those things in the Bible, sometimes the English, we can kind of get the gist, but probably in the original language it was much more beautiful because it would have come together again as a song. And even though we can look through there and read that and we understand it, when you really reflect on it for a moment, I think you can really see some incredible things that Mary was thinking about, not only how God had personally blessed her, but also things that were specifically for people in general. So look at this next slide, right? So we look at this, and these points. He looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Again, we see that she is talking about herself. We know these things about Mary. She was a nobody from a nobody family, just like the least of the least of the least, yet God decided to use her in this amazing way. For the mighty one had done great things for me. You know what? We don't know if she's specifically talking about, obviously, you know, being the person that brings the Messiah, but also, obviously, she had a track record with God. Otherwise, he wouldn't have chose her. And so she had this, even at a young age, had this perspective and saw how God had blessed her in mighty ways. His mercy, speaks of his mercy, his strength, lifted up the lowly, filled the hungry. He has helped. And so she has this perspective of God that time and time and time again, God shows up and does what God does. And he, again, holds up the lowly, right? And here's the thing. I mean, our God loves us enough to roll up our sleeves and do what we need to be. No, that's not some theological thing, because I don't know if God wears sleeves. You'll have to figure that out. But he does. I mean, he's not some absent God. I think sometimes because he's God and because we're these little peons that live on this little planet amongst billions and billions and billions, that we feel like he's like this faraway thing, and yet time and time again in his word, we see this intimacy that God wants to have with us, and so he understands that. And so when even the best of times, or when life kicks us in the teeth and knocks us down, I mean, as Mary said, he lifts up the lowly. And sometimes I think we can read something like that and we can just burn through it. I mean, that is a profound and important statement to really think about. Again, the God of the entire universe is willing to look into your seemingly, compared to him, not seemingly, absolutely insignificant existence, to see your need, to see your struggle, to see your concern, and to speak into that. He loves you that, I mean, just think about that. We just burn through life, and when life's going well, we throw God some praises. When life's not going so well, we might have some questions, but do we really think often about how God truly cares for us at that deep level? And I get it. A pastor can say that in church. It can sound fantastic. It looks good on paper, but in real life, sometimes it's way harder to grasp hold of that. And I truly believe that there are a lot of people that would identify themselves as Christians, but they don't act like this is true, right? Something happens, and instantly, before falling on their knees in prayer and going, Lord, you need to show up in this, what do? We go into planning mode. We're wired for this. Okay, so here's the issue. Let's look at all the different parts of it. We put it down. We look, okay, so then this needs to be done, and we come up with a plan, and usually only when that plan and plan B and possibly plan C fail, then we go and go, okay, now God, I'm ready to listen to you. Again, these are Christian folk, and sadly, our first knee-jerk reaction is not to run to God. Are you kidding me? I don't care how much you know about your situation. I can guarantee God knows way more. And yet we don't tend to include him pretty quickly in our issues. I mean, again, is it, well, I dug my own hole, so I have to fix it? Or is it a trust issue with God? There might be a number of things. But this morning I want you to hear, whether I'm convincing you or to remind you this morning, that our God cares, he can handle it, and he is happy to hold it up and you up as well. I want you to turn your attention to a single verse in Psalm, and I think it shows us this truth from several angles. Psalm 55:22 says this, "Cast your burdens on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved." I want to show you four things in this verse. Number one, what are we referred to in this verse? How many are comfortable with that, right? We're not. We don't like that righteous word. But here's the thing. It ain't based on you. Amen. All right? It's based on the person that came there to die in there because he loved you. And so that righteousness is not, and we can call ourselves righteous. It's not some bragging thing. It's whatnot. If you've accepted Christ's gift, then that's who you are by the nature of who lives in you. All right? But when we think about this, what is this really referring to? Your identity. Your identity is that you are one of the righteous. How much does your identity get beat on in our world, in our culture? The world and Satan attacks us on a regular basis. The world says what? Well, if you really are somebody, it looks like this, right? The world is in our country has a very plain and simple formula for what success looks like. Money, stuff, power, prestige, all that stuff, right? And if you don't have the right amount of that, you don't mean jack. You're nothing. That's what our world tells us. And then Satan, he does his thing too, right? So we're moving along, we're feeling good, and he's like, hey, remember what you were? I do. Remember your past? Remember all that stuff? You're not worthy of this. You don't matter. And so we get beat down with this over and over and again. And so God needs to hold us up. And what does God say? God says you are loved. God says you matter. God says you are worthy. You are his child. You are his joint heir with Christ. He holds up our identity because here's the thing. It is not who you are, but whose you are that really identifies you. Some of you didn't hear that. It is not who you are, it's whose you are that identifies you. God holds our true identity up. And I will tell you, that should give you a whole lot of hope this morning. Second thing I want you to see, God is also concerned with your burden. God cares for us. He cares what happens to us. He is willing to stand there in our weakness. He's willing to hold us up and to fight our battles, even when we've made our own consequences. There are plenty of battles and things that we have to go through because of our own stupid decisions, right? We bought into the lie that the world says, look, this is a great time. These are great decisions and whatnot. We hook, line, and sinker, and we go down that road, and it's not as wonderful as it was. God doesn't let us go. When our kids were little, you know, when your kids are little, it's hard because you're tired, you're exhausted, and all that stuff. And then you're not ready for this, but they get to this age where they can make their own decisions. That'll test your resolve as a parent, right? Because here it is. Here's this decision. And you pray, you pour your wisdom into them. But at the end of the day, they are going to make that decision. And every parent here has watched your child make a decision that you don't agree with, that you wouldn't have chose for them. And you watch the consequences that you knew were going to come. And you know the hard times. You watch this little helpless being that grew up into this thing not so much. And they go, and you watch this. It doesn't change how you love them, does it? Now, again, sometimes we as parents want to swoop in and help them. There's a right time for that. Other times, true love says, okay, we got your back, but you got to go through this alone. It's not by happenstance that God calls us his children. Why? Because he treats us like a father. You could make the worst decisions on the planet. You could be entrenched with the consequences of your sin, but God still loves you, and he wants to help you with that burden. He doesn't give up on us. He's willing to carry that. But so often, we hold it tight. We don't invite God into our junk. Because here's the thing, being a Christian does not set us apart from the heartache or the hurting of this world. What it does is allow us, hopefully, a quicker response, an invitation to ask God into our junk. So this morning, just I want you to do a quick assessment. Are you carrying something or fighting some battle this morning that you've not allowed God in? Why? It's not going to change the way he thinks or feels about you. He loves you regardless. And he might just be sitting there waiting for you to go, God, help me, and he'll swoop down and he's going to help you. But he doesn't tend to force his will on us. How much extra junk, pain, and angst have you heaped on your life because you didn't ask God in early? I don't want the answer to that. I don't want that answer, right? I hope and pray as I get older that the time frame when I invite God in is shorter. But at the end of our life, I wonder if God said, look at all this stuff. Yeah, you could have avoided it. This, all this pain and anguish, if you would have just met me at the front end, because I want to help you with your burden. And that's why we see this next thing, cast. Now, other versions use words like pile, give, turn, place, or leave. And even though those words might feel a little different, they all are action verbs. Not only does God care about our actions, but this is a strong suggestion of what we need to implement. Again, are we casting, giving, placing our junk, and giving it to God? We are all broken humans. And it is easy to get bogged down with the junk in our lives. Even as the Holy Spirit comes, and again, as we walk in the Spirit, and he shows us those things in our lives, and by the grace of God and his power, we start giving those things to God, and he takes them, and we experience freedom and joy from our past and our junk. I read an illustration once that said, you know what? Satan has a wheelbarrow. And as we're going through life and we're chucking stuff off, Satan's following us up and he's putting it in the wheelbarrow. Why? Because he wants to remind us of our past. Every chance he gets, he's going to go, hey, remember this? Or maybe worse yet, you know, we've had this sin and it's been this burden and it's kept us from that relationship with God. We finally get broke free and man, we're experiencing this new relationship with God and we're growing and all this stuff. And man, we get a little tired, we get a little weary, we get out of the word. And so we're a little, what does Satan do? Polishes that sucker off and puts it right back in front of our face, right? Hey, remember how great a time this was? Cast your burdens on him. I mean, that's the awesome part of God. He wants to help you deal with your stuff. The stuff that weighs you down, the things that steal your hope, the things that steal your joy and your peace. Our God wants to take those and give you freedom and joy and peace instead. We are not meant to carry so much of what we do. God wants you to have true freedom, and it starts when we cast our burdens on him. And I know it's hard, and I think it's hard to trust, and because for us, love tends to be conditional. We can't fathom the fact that no matter what I do, God loves me the same. That doesn't compute. Because I don't care how good a person you are, our love is conditional. It is. You love your spouse. We all should love our spouse, our children. But man, there are times it wavers. Why? Because we're broken humans. But God's love is perfect. And so if we can grasp that and cling to that, we can believe this through. And as we cast our burdens to him, last thing I want you to see here, he will sustain you. It's interesting during this Christmas season because I think the lines of needs and wants get blurred. The commercials I hate the most are the ones with a new car with a bow. I'm like, who are these people? Don't ever tell me. If you got a car for Christmas, I don't want to hear about it because instantly I'm going to judge you and think less of you. And that's my own broken. But seriously, I mean, they just load us up with this, and this, and oh, you need this, and all those things. But here's the thing. When our Bible tells us he will sustain you, God understands our needs better than we do. How much trouble do we get in with our wants? I broached that last week, right? We want this, and in order to get this, I have to do this, and we heap all this extra tension and junk and struggle and stress on us when God's like, you know what? It'll bring you a little bit of happiness for a little while, but what I'm offering is eternal joy and peace and presence. You can point to me anything on this planet. And compared to what God offers, I'm sorry, it's not going to last. He will sustain us. We have this loving God that is, he's not absent. He's not some faraway deity. And again, as we saw in week one in the series, he loved us enough to choose us over the glories of heaven. He is more than happy to come and hold us up as we navigate this crazy life. The catch for us is that we need to be much quicker at running to him and allowing him to do that. The idea that our God loves us and supports us in such an intimate way should absolutely fill you to the brim with hope and joy. No matter what the rest of this year holds, no matter what 2019 holds for you, you can trust the one who is already there waiting for you, because he understands better than anybody else how to hold you up and understands the situation you're in. You need to remember who you are and cast your burdens on him. And hope and joy and peace is what you get in return. Please pray with me. Our gracious Heavenly Father God, I just want to say thank you for that, because I know what I said is true. Despite of what this world and Satan might try to lie to me, I take my eyes off and I see those things, but when I return to your word and I come back and I allow you to speak into my heart, I know this to be true. And Lord, for all of us, I would just ask that we allow you and you help us to allow you to just hold us up, to walk through this life in the valleys and on the mountaintops, that we would remember that we matter and we're worthy and we're your children, not because of anything we did, but because of your amazing love that caused you to leave the glories of heaven and die on a cross. And so in the midst of this season, Lord, keep bringing our minds back around to that truth, so that again, not only can we have that in us, but also we can have that pouring out into the lives around us as well. We thank you and praise you for all that you are and all that you do. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.